Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of January 21st, 2024. It's entitled, Our Great God is Holy. And a major text is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The call to worship is from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and Psalm 95, verse 6. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Amen. We gather together today to learn about our God. This knowledge comes from what God has taught us in the Bible, and also what we learn about God as we apply His Word to our lives. For example, we are to love others and use things, not the other way around. Last week, we looked at our great God and lessons from Isaiah chapter 40 that we need to remember, such as, no problem is bigger than God. No detail in my life is too insignificant for Him. No sin is bigger than God's power to forgive. And no event will ever take God by surprise. Today we are learning more about our God through the experience of the prophet Isaiah. Today, looking at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne. The bottom of His robe filled the temple. Angels were standing above Him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They called to each other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Their voices shook the foundation of the doorposts, and the temple filled with smoke. So I said, Oh no, I'm doomed. Every word that passes through my lips is sinful. I live among people with sinful lips. I have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Then one of the angels flew to me. In his hand was a burning coal that he'd taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, This has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away, and your sin has been forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom will I send? Who will go for us? I said, Here am I. Send me. King Uzziah, or Azariah, as he's also known, reigned over Judah as king for 52 years. The loss of a loved king, a long-loved king, can be unsettling and is remembered by those who go through that experience. It's during this time, it seems while Isaiah was visiting the temple in Jerusalem, that he had a vision of God which changed his life. For Isaiah, as it was for Moses and the Israelites at Mount Sinai, when God came near, there was a thick smoke, and the ground around them shook. What Isaiah experiences is humbling and fills him with awe and fear. He sees the Lord God sitting on a throne, high and exalted, in a long flowing garment as worn by dignitaries and royalty in the ancient Near East. Merely the bottom of his robe completely filled the Jerusalem temple, his temple. Isaiah, in this instance, was reminded that King Uzziah may be gone, but Judah's true king still reigns and is present in power and royal majesty. His angelic attendants announce his presence with the words, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Verse 3 in the NIV. In Isaiah's vision with the thrice repeated call that the Lord is holy, we learn about God. We learn about God that God is holy, almighty, and full of glory. What is meant by holiness? In Hebrew, holiness has the idea of being separate, set apart, and special. God is indeed special. He is different, separate from everything else. This is why his holiness is related to his glory. Essential to God's being and his holiness is that he abhors sin. God is pictured in various passages of Scripture as being light, pure light, and sin as darkness. As you know, darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. Isaiah, in his vision of the holy God, not only learns about God, but he also learns about himself. He quakes in the presence of the holy God because he sees himself, he sees his sin, and that of his people, and that it disqualifies him from being in God's presence. We read in verse 5, "So I said, 'Oh no, I'm doomed. Every word that passes through my lips is sinful. I live among people with sinful lips. I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty, or the Lord of armies.'" The clearer we see God's holiness, the clearer we see ourselves as sinful. Isaiah's experience in this sense was repeated by the fisherman Peter when he realized his net full of fish caught midday could only be explained by the presence of God. In Luke 5:8, we read, "When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'O Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Oh no, I'm doomed.'" 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth." Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 32 say, "As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." That's what Isaiah experienced as he came, in a sense, face to face with the holy God. He realized his own sinfulness. God's word makes it clear that we are helpless to help ourselves in regards to sin. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And as Isaiah said, "Oh no, I'm doomed." Yet as Isaiah was mourning his sinful condition, he learned a third lesson. And this third lesson is God can make people holy. God can make people holy. Isaiah 6, verse 6 says, "Then one of the angels flew to me. In his hand was a burning coal that he'd taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'This has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin has been removed.'" Our best efforts can never make us holy. It is God himself who deals with people's sin. Holiness is vital to the Lord. And as he calls his people to be holy as he is holy, he also provides the means by which we can be holy. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the first half says, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned. but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Thank you, Lord. And Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8 reminds us, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Wow. It is God. God is the one who makes people holy. It is not through our efforts. A fourth lesson to learn from Isaiah's vision is that being cleaned up, being forgiven, always comes before being sent out. Cleaned up, being forgiven comes before being sent out. Trying to serve God without first experiencing his forgiveness and renewing power will lead us to frustration, not holiness. After Isaiah received God's cleansing from sin, then he could offer himself to God's service. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom will I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" David learned this lesson as well. In Psalm 51, verses 10 to 13, listen as David writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a faithful spirit within me. Do not force me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and provide me with a spirit of willing obedience. Then I will teach your ways to those who are rebellious, and sinners will return to you." David's prayer here is, "Lord, clean me up. Create a clean heart in me. Renew a faithful spirit in me. And then send me. I'll teach your ways to others who are rebellious and sinners." We have a great God, a holy God. And in light of this, the lessons we see in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, we need to remember. Here's some things to remember. One of them is, I cannot hide my sin from God. I cannot hide my sin from God. So bring it to him, seeking his forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 reminds us, nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is clear and lies open before him. And to him, we must explain the way we have lived. So, I can't hide my sin from God, so bring it to him, seeking his forgiveness. Another thing to remember is God does not deal with our sins as we deserve. When you come seeking repentance, remember, God doesn't deal with our sins as we deserve. He is compassionate. He is gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. We're reminded of this in Psalm 103, verse 8. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, this is from the Message translation, "Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Another thing that we are to remember is God says that no sin is too bad to be forgiven. There's no sin that you can tell yourself, there's no point going to God, he won't forgive me. The Apostle Paul used himself as an example of God's great forgiveness. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul wrote, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." This saying is true, and it can be trusted. I was the worst sinner of all. Paul is saying, listen, people, if God can forgive me, a persecutor of the church, one who had Christians arrested to be killed, if God can forgive me, he can forgive you. If he can forgive my arrogance, my pride, the wickedness that came out of my life, he can forgive anyone. God says that no sin is too bad to be forgiven. God doesn't deal with our sins as we deserve. I can't hide my sin from God, so bring it to him, seeking his forgiveness. And remember, holiness is more than my external actions. Here's another thing to remember. Being holy is more than my external actions. God wants my outward actions to be a reflection of my heart, not a cover-up for the real me. He doesn't want actors. Now, this was Jesus' concern with the Pharisees and their emphasis on their outward behavior, yet ignoring their inner life. They were sticklers when it came to keeping the law as an external thing, but it didn't impact their thoughts and their inner being. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and then verses 21 to 23, Jesus says, "There is nothing that goes into a person from the outside which can make him richly unclean. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that makes him unclean. For from the inside, from a person's heart, comes the evil deeds which lead him to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy and do all sorts of evil things, deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside a person and make them unclean." Holiness is more than my external actions. God wants my outward actions to be a reflection of my heart surrendered to him. Now, another thing to remember is God comes to us for our benefit, not our harm. When God comes, he reaches out to us for our benefit, not our harm. When Isaiah found himself in God's holy presence, he felt completely unworthy and he wanted to flee. He wanted to get out of there. But God's purpose was to allow Isaiah to see his true nature. Yes, you are sinful. And then to change him. Romans chapter 6, verse 22 says, "Now you've been freed from sin and have become God's slaves. This results in a holy life and finally in everlasting life." God comes to us for our benefit, not our harm. And finally, personal holiness doesn't just happen. Personal holiness doesn't just happen. You may have heard the saying, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just as going to a garage doesn't make a person a car. I need to choose to be holy. I need to choose to be holy by depending upon God's strength. He alone is the one who can make me clean. It's not my outward actions. He alone is the one who can make me clean. Joshua had this conversation with the people soon after they entered the land, and now they were ready to disperse and begin to take control of it as tribes. In Joshua chapter 24, I'll read verse 14 and then verses 19 to 24. Joshua says, Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then 19 to 24, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Personal holiness does not just happen. We must choose to surrender our will to the holy God and depend upon him to make us clean. God the Father sent Jesus the Son to die in our place. He paid the full penalty for our sins. Accept his forgiveness. Accept him as your sin forgiver and your life leader. Then the Spirit of God will come to dwell within you. Who is the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. He will lead, guide, teach, correct, and strengthen you. Thank you. Thank you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Our benediction is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. May the God of peace himself make you holy in every way, and may your whole being, spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for joining us. Our God is great and our God is holy. Seek his strength to be holy as he calls you to be. Be holy as I am holy. Thank you. Goodbye.